Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord on a December morning and the sun is coming through brightly through the windows? Given all the rain and the slightly chilly weather we've been having, it's always good to see the sun, isn't it? I'm going to ask you to forgive me. I've got a bit of a cough. I'm going to try not to cough in the microphone. But if it does pick up some, please. I think so. So if you do see me coughing in the mic, it's because someone's nodded off. And it's just a simple way to say, yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. And I want to read from the first chapter. I've got some. Luke chapter 1. I was thinking in preparation for today that I'm not sure if I'll get another opportunity to preach a Christmas sermon. So I thought I'm going to take advantage of it. And Jeff shared so wonderfully on the Last Supper. And you will know that when you look at the Christian calendar, there are two major events on the Christian calendar. I know that there's all sorts of other things we might celebrate, but really there are two things, and that's the birth and the death of Christ. And I just thought to myself while I was sat, isn't it wonderful that this morning we get to hear on both the birth and the death of Christ. And the reason why Jesus was born was so that one day he would go to the cross and die. And so it was wonderful, Jeff, that you shared on the Last Supper, because I can share now on the birth, and we can get both ends of it. So today, hopefully, if you held back a little bit on the offering, you can give a little bit more, because you got double this morning. Two for the... That's just a joke. Please, I'm not being serious. Some of your faces, maybe I'll cough in the mic. The Bible says, reading from verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. I want you to turn left in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 1. And I'd like to read a few verses from there as well. Matthew chapter 1, and I'll be reading from verse 18. The Word of God says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that the entrance of your word brings light, brings understanding, brings encouragement, brings strength, but it also brings a challenge to our lives. And I ask today that you, by the power of your Spirit, would speak to us through your word, that each one of us would leave this place changed, transformed, challenged, encouraged, empowered, equipped to go and do that which you have called and created us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oftentimes when we think about the Christmas story, foremost in our minds is the night that Christ was born. I couldn't help but notice the posters that we have on the wall. Isn't it interesting? When you look at the poster, what we see highlighted there? The kings rejoiced. That's with reference to the wise men. The shepherds, the angels, the baby. Usually these are the characters that we focus on when we turn to the Christmas story and as we begin to recall and maybe speak about the first Christmas. And Joseph and Mary, generally speaking, are pushed to the background. We teach, we talk, we sing about the baby. We sing about the angels. We sing about the shepherds. We sing about the wise men three. And maybe now and then we might say something about Joseph and Mary. But generally speaking, they are in the background whenever we consider the Christmas story. And yet, without Joseph and Mary, there would have not been that very first Christmas. I think you know what I mean. Just stop and think for a moment about that. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1 verse 20 that Jesus was chosen by God to fulfill this role before the foundations of the earth were even laid. In Revelation 13 verse 8, we read that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the creation of the world. Throughout the Old Testament, there is prophecy of Jesus coming, starting right in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of man, where God speaks of how the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Over and over again throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, there are promises, there are warnings of the coming Messiah. And so, not just Israel, but all of creation was anxiously awaiting the coming of the Messiah. However, there was just one small but important issue that needed to be sorted out. Who will his parents be? What family will he come through or come to? Who will they be? Now, one could not be blamed for thinking that surely it must be the king and queen. Or maybe the high priest and his wife. Or some other prominent or high-profile couple. But that's not what happens. We all know the story, don't we? Instead, what does God do? God chooses a carpenter. A carpenter, and his soon-to-be wife. This is the couple that God chose to be parents of the Savior of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27 says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." You know, one of the things that I love about God is that he treats everyone the same. He treats everybody the same. Bible tells us in Romans 2:11 that God shows no favoritism. He treats us all the same. And I love that about God, because when we look at the history of humanity, the concept of equality is one that humanity has wrestled with throughout the ages and has failed to crack. Even in this present day, we know that there's so much talk about inequality, and yet governments and societies and organizations are striving for equality, that all men might be treated equal. And yet every social system has failed. But with God, there are no favorites. I expected an amen there. Or do I need to cough in the mic? With God, there are no favorites. He treats us all the same. Where the difference comes is how we respond to Him. That's what determines our outcome. But He loves us all the same. And so instead of doing what you and I might have done and maybe looked for the Messiah to come through some high profile or some prominent couple, the king and queen of the land, God chooses two ordinary people. People just like you and me. Ordinary people to play a key role in fulfilling His salvation plan for mankind. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't help but think about what it must have been like for Mary. What must it have been like for her when the angel Gabriel came and told her that she was to have a baby? And a baby out of wedlock as well. See, sometimes some of these things are lost on us, just the weight of it. In today's world and in this age in which you and I are living, having children outside of marriage is quite normal. It's quite an accepted thing. But it was a very different case back then. You know that under the law, you could be stoned for adultery back then. Not that they were married, but she was betrothed. So technically, one could argue that. And it was a very different world back then. Being a single mother was an unheard of thing. And yet, here you have an angel, a messenger of God, telling this girl, Mary, that she's about to become a mother and the mother of the Messiah. And yet, she was not yet married. What must it have been like for Mary when the angel came to her? Excuse me, Mr. Angel, sir, are you giving me a message from the same God who says that you should not have sex outside of marriage? The God who forbids that? Is this, were you bringing me a message from Mr. Angel, sir? Are you telling me that me, an unmarried woman, will be having a child? And sorry, but not just any child. The child that the whole nation has been waiting for thousands of years. The Messiah. Are you? I wonder. Have you ever encountered something or had something laid on your heart that you knew was from God, and yet it seemed to go against your understanding of how God works? Anybody ever have that happen to them? You know what I'm talking about? God puts something on your heart and you know it's from God, but it goes against your understanding of how God usually functions. Have you ever felt led to do something that seemed to go against what you believed was God's will for your life? Anybody here? Ever felt led to do that? Historians tell us that based on what we know about Jewish customs and traditions at that time in history, Mary would probably have been in her early to mid-teens. That's what historians tell us. So, you know, she would have been a young girl, a young lady, a young woman, I don't know. But she would have been young. She would have been young. Relatively young. How many of you know what it's like to have responsibilities placed on you when you're not ready for them? Anyone ever have that? Suddenly you've got to deal with this stuff, but I'm not ready for it yet. Or you get given something you're not expecting and now it's up to you. It's like, I didn't ask for this. And that's where we hear phrases like, that's the hand that life has dealt you. Yeah? I didn't ask for this. Minding my own business and an angel comes and tells me, excuse me, you're about to be in the position where you could get stoned. Sorry? I didn't ask for this. Here was a young woman waiting to get married. The Bible tells us. She was just a girl who I believe must have behaved very well, done everything that she was supposed to do. She was probably a credit to her family. Why else would the angel have addressed her the way that he did? Telling her that she's favored of the Lord. She's highly favored amongst women. My wife and I often talk about different things, and not just the things that we are enjoying, but sometimes the things that we are struggling with just in life in general, sometimes crisis of faith that we might be experiencing at different times in our life due to the inconsistencies of the Christian experience. You know what I mean when I say the inconsistencies of the Christian experience? The Bible tells you that you're more than a conqueror, and yet there's things that seem to constantly knock you down. You know, the Bible tells us that we have all things, we've been blessed with everything, and yet you find that you got more bills than you got money. Yes? You know what I'm talking about? Sorry, is it just me and my wife, or does anyone else know what I'm talking about? These are the realities, the inconsistencies of the Christian faith, and we've got to wrestle with some of these things, don't we? One of those things is, have you ever wondered, what do you have to do in order to experience a miraculous move of God in your life? Ever asked yourself why you never seem to be the one that God chooses to use or chooses to bless? Ever asked, or is it just me? Sorry, this is me, just self-confession at the moment. I know, so I think it's just me. I'm pleased, and for those who are watching online, we have a very blessed congregation here. And I think it's just me. But ever asked yourself why you never seem to get chosen for the blessing? People stand up. I know we have testimony time here at church, and people stand up and talk about how they've been blessed with this and blessed with that. And when you stand up and give your testimony, it's of how God just managed, how you managed to get through by the grace of God. Amen. But I'm saying, but nonetheless, we ask these questions. I ask these questions. I know maybe you don't, but I do. I wonder, ladies, given the chance, how many of you would like to have been the mother of Jesus? Don't all rush to the front. You see, I believe that God chose Mary because Mary chose God. What I mean by that is, I believe that Mary chose to live her life in submission and obedience to God. Because if she had not, he would have never chosen her. And not only that, but look at her response to the angel. Whereas my response may have been, no, hang on. I don't think I want to be a part of this. Mary's response was very different. Because even though she was no doubt afraid, even though she was no doubt confused, because she asks, how is this going to happen? Since how am I going to be pregnant when I'm still a virgin? I don't understand this. And yet, look at her response. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled. That was Mary's response. Mary was a young woman who, long before the angel came and visited her, had already made the decision to live her life in submission and obedience to the will and the word of God. Joseph, on the other hand, although older than Mary, would himself have been a young man. Possibly in his late teens, maybe in his early 20s. Like Mary, he was preparing for marriage. And as any man who has been married will tell you, that in and of itself can be a very challenging thing. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but the romantic novels and the movies make planning a wedding look so much fun for the couple. And such a happy time. They just can't wait to get married. That's the picture we get from the books, don't we? The Mills and Boons. Does anyone remember Mills and Boons? Some of those slightly older. Mills and Boons. My sisters used to read the Mills and Boons, and oh my goodness. I didn't know you. You see, the truth is, though, that regardless of how much in love a man is, as that day draws near, and men, back me up, little doubts and questions begin to pop into the mind, don't they? Are you sure you want to go through with this? Is this really what you want to do? You remember those who've been married? Are you ready to settle down? Is she really the woman for you? These are some of the questions that a man asks himself as that happy day approaches. Sorry, just slip of the tongue. What is it, a Freudian slip of the tongue? Are you going to manage to take care of her? You see, most men have these questions, but they push through. They push through and they show up at the wedding. Some cry at the altar, but they show up and they go through with it. Unfortunately, there have been those who have failed to push through and they don't show up, they back out. Some actually on the wedding day, there have been a few brides who've been left standing at the altar, as there have been some grooms as well who've been left standing at the altar. Because marriage can be a frightening thing. Because you're committing yourself to one person for the rest of your life. And that can be a very long time. Indeed. Joseph had made this commitment and he was going through with it. He was going through with it. And until he discovered that actually he's supposed to be virgin bride was pregnant. Wow, can you imagine that? He was going through with it and then he finds out this news. What's a man to do? Apart from the fact that he was not the father, just think of the shame and the persecution that not just Mary would face, but so would Joseph. They would both face the ridicule, the persecution, and the shame. But the truth is, Joseph had done nothing wrong. And you know what it's like if a lady tells you, I'm expecting a child, but I haven't been with anybody, you say, really? Really? These days we can do DNA, whatever tests, you know what I mean? We can find that out pretty quickly. No, but I haven't been with anybody, so who knows, maybe Mary, you know, tried to plead a case. This has never happened before. Joseph had done nothing wrong. And so he was well within his rights to call off the wedding. And in fact, the Bible tells us he'd intended to do exactly that. He was going to call off the wedding. However, what the Bible also does is it gives us a very interesting insight into the kind of man that Joseph was. You see, some men would have really blown their top, isn't it? And shouted it on, you know, on, top of the highest building. Let the world know how he'd been betrayed. But not Joseph. Not Joseph. The Bible tells us something very different about Joseph. You see, even though Joseph would have been hurt, disappointed, felt betrayed, the kind of man he was, the Bible says, he decided that he would not do anything to harm or disgrace Mary. He was going to leave her, but he was going to leave her in such a way as to preserve as much of her dignity as possible. That's the kind of man that Joseph was. And I would like to suggest today that Joseph was just like Mary. Just like Mary, Joseph was a person who had chosen to live his life in a way that was honoring to God. And this is evidenced by his response to her pregnancy. And so just like Mary, God chose Joseph because Joseph chose God. Now, earlier in this sermon, I hope you'll remember because it wasn't that long ago when I began, you'll recall that I said that God does not favor anyone. He treats us all the same. For most people, this is a difficult concept to grasp, especially as you look around the church. Some people seem to be more blessed than others. Let's just be honest. Yeah? If you feel a bit nervous, you can look down at this moment. But the truth is, some of us seem to be more blessed than others. That's just the reality of it. I'm not just talking about this church. I'm just saying the church in general. You know, we tend to get that sense, isn't it? And so when we hear things like God treats us all the same, he loves us all the same, it's sometimes a little bit difficult to grasp. It's even more challenging at this time of the year when everything around you speaks about getting things. I liked our little message before the offering. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I just thought to myself, I was really happy to see my daughter at the back of the church because I thought, yeah, I want this for Christmas. I want that. I'll say, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want anything. Don't tell me what you want for Christmas because the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. My wife was telling me some of the things that she wants for Christmas. I'm going to tell her, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. Amen. But it can be really challenging at this time of the year, you know, because there's so much. We've been driven, aren't we? The ads on telly, you know, the billboards and at the bus stops and everywhere you go, it's about getting stuff. So I thought that was a timely word. And like I said, I just need to pass that message on to my son now and I might be okay this Christmas. That the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. No comment on that one. I don't want anything for Christmas, but I could do with a few things. Well, that's a different discussion. I remember when I was young, and Christmas morning we'd open our presents. Usually it would be after church. Most of the time I would see what my brother got before I actually saw what I got, because I wanted to see and make sure that what he got was not better than what I got. I'm just being honest. Okay, but the truth is, he never got anything better than I did because we always got the same thing. My brother and I are only just over a year, you know, age difference. I'm not that much older than him. A year and 6 months, 18 months. So everything that he got, I got. Everything that I got, he got. It didn't matter what it was. Same clothes. We got the same clothes. Same toys. We even got the same pieces of meat at Sunday lunch. Chicken drumstick, chicken drumstick. I thank the Lord that you know, chicken had two drumsticks. We got everything the same. If we were given money, we got the same amount of money. Even though I was older than him, I've always been told that I was the older brother, except when it came to time for giving things. We got the same thing. But the point I want to make is that Even though we were treated the same, the way that we responded was very different. Very different. You see, I lived in the moment. And so I wanted to enjoy what I was given straight away. I didn't want to wait. I was always like that. If it was a toy, I took it out of the box and I played with it immediately. If we were given some sweets, I ate them. I ate them. Those sweets did not last very long. I got to be honest, I was saying with my daughter, I was taking her somewhere and she had a bit of chocolate. I can see she's looking at me strangely. And I asked her for some and she wanted to give me one block and I said, no, I want three. You know, a whole line. I said, I want three. And she said, no, I'm going to give you one. I said, no, I want three. I said, I can't take one. I said, I want three. I said, okay, minimum I'll take two. But I'm not taking one. She said, I'm only giving you one. I said, then I don't want. Because I want three. She said, but why? I said, because you have to eat chocolate in bulk. I said, you have to eat it in bulk. If you really want to taste the chocolate, don't eat a little. You know, my wife takes little bites and, you know, and say, I like chunks. I like chunks. Anyone else like me? I want to fill my mouth. So if I get an Easter egg, I used to, you know, bites, not little pieces. Okay, because why? I live in the moment. I want to enjoy myself now. My brother, on the other hand, responded quite differently. We did everything together. We grew up together. But my brother was different. He was more patient. He'd take his time. He'd wait. He'd save his sweets. He'd save his money. That's the truth. If he was here today, or if my sisters were here, they'll tell you this is the truth. He'd save. I'd spend it. First opportunity I got, I was buying ice cream. I was buying sweets out because I wanted to enjoy it. I lived in the moment, but my brother was different. And so, and I'm sure you can guess, a few days later, I'd have no sweets. My money would be spent, and he'd still have his. And that would aggravate me. It would anger me. He was my younger brother, and that used to get my goat. I couldn't stand that. I'd even complain sometimes, and I'd, you know, because that would cause a little bit of friction, because I'd start to steal his sweets, and, you know, and little things like that. I'm being honest, it's under the blood. I'm saved, so it doesn't matter. I can tell him now. Sometimes I'd even accuse my mom of favoring him. Favoritism. And yet she had not. We were both treated exactly the same. What was different was our response to what we'd received. That's what made the difference. You know, as we look at the Christmas story, yes, we know that Jesus is the central figure in the Christmas story. We know that. We know that Jesus is God's gift to the world, and we thank the Lord for him. But I believe there's another lesson that we can learn from the Christmas story. And that lesson is from Mary and Joseph. You know, when the angel came to Mary, he called her blessed and favored by God. All because she had made up her mind to live in a manner that was pleasing to God. The thing that gave her favor, the thing that caused her to be blessed, the thing that caused her to be chosen was her choice to live in submission and obedience to the will of God. And we can say the same thing for Joseph. This Christmas, some of you will receive many gifts from friends and family. Some of you may not receive anything at all. And if you're one of those, I suggest you come to the Christmas party. Come to the Christmas party next Saturday. I'm sure there'll be things given up. But I'm just saying, the truth is not everybody's going to get something this Christmas. Isn't that true? You know, experts tell us that one of the most depressing times of the year is Christmas for some people. But here's the thing. Something that we can all receive is the gift of Jesus in our lives. We can all receive that gift this Christmas. When the angel told Mary about Jesus, her response was, "Let everything that you have said happen to me." King James Version will say, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Joseph, after the angel had spoken to him, after he'd spoken to him in the dream, Joseph woke and he changed all his plans. Instead, he did what the Lord wanted him to do, not what he had originally planned to do. I wonder, as I begin to bring things to a close, what will your response be to God's gift of Jesus today? What will your response be to God's gift of Jesus during this holiday season? Because whatever your response is, that will determine whether or not you are favored or not, whether you are chosen or not. Church, my prayer for each and every one of us this holiday season is that we would respond to the gift of Jesus and the word of God for our lives, just like Mary and Joseph did. That regardless of our circumstances, whether or not we fully understand everything that God is calling us to do, we would simply say, as Mary did, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love each and every one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you that even though man might not love us, you love us. Thank you that even though people might give nothing to us, you've given us the most important thing we could ever need. You've given us Jesus. And I ask today, O God, that that gift of Jesus, that our understanding, our appreciation of it this year, that Lord, that you would bring a new understanding, a new appreciation, a fresh revelation of the gift of Jesus. That just like Mary and Joseph, our highest desire would be to see your will fulfilled in our lives. I pray for each person here, Lord, as we rapidly approach the end of another year, as we would cast a glance back over this year, Lord, and as we would look forward in anticipation. I pray, O God, that we would not miss what you have for us today. That we would not neglect the gift that you have given us today, which is your Son, Jesus. That we would not take our Lord and Savior for granted. But Father God, I pray that there'd be a recklessness similar to the recklessness that I would show time and time again, Lord, even as I expressed by way of humor, but I believe, Lord, that there's a truth in that. May we seek to get as much of Jesus today as we can. May we look to enjoy Jesus this gift of Jesus in bulk. I thank you that you are the all-sufficient God, and that in you our every need is met. I pray even as we go through this day, as we go through this new week, I ask and pray, Lord, that you would go before us. I ask for your protection over each and every one of us here today. I ask, O God, for your provision. That, Lord, that even as we heard earlier from the 23rd Psalm, that you are our shepherd and there's nothing that we lack. I pray, Lord, that we would see that, Lord, in every area of our lives, that we would lack nothing because you are an all-sufficient God. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide us each step of the way through this week that lies ahead of us, that we would be light and salt wherever we go, that in the frenzy of this season, that we would shine the light of Jesus because he is the reason for the season. And so we thank you. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.